I'm not actually out on a walk recording this. I'm just putting my bins out at home. But I tried to record a walking diary yesterday while I was on a walk fairly high up on Dartmoor. And listen back to it today. It was quite a long one, and listen back to it though, and there's a lot of stuff you couldn't hear that I said because the wind was up quite a bit yesterday on that walk. So I've decided to sort of re-record it, or re-record a few of the similar sort of thoughts that I had while I was up there, and hopefully this one will have the benefit of not having too much interfering background noise. Certainly won't have the sound of Satan's howling breath like yesterday's did. But you do have, as you can probably hear, the sound of the river that runs past my house. You need to trust me on this. Obviously, you don't know that for sure. I could just be standing next to the shower. But I promise you that that's the sound of a Dartmoor River, which comes down from probably 1,200 feet higher than where I am now and gathers its force. And that was part of what I was doing yesterday on my walk, I think. I wanted to just get a sense of how the river got all its power. And I really did. There's a lot of time for it to build up, and there's a lot of gradient there. And in that time, that's where it gathers its voice. It's got lots of voices, I've found. I got my keys to this place two weeks ago. Exactly. In that time, the weather's largely been quite grey, quite warm in a way for November, sort of like walking through dirty dishwater most of the days. Quite a bit of rain, but not enough for the river to be really ragingly high, but it's still got a fair bit to say. Yesterday though, I set out for this walk because it was just the first properly bright day, and from the top of the valley you got an amazing view down, right down to the sea, where you could see Paignton. That was the biggest conurbation you could see, and closer you could see Buckfast Abbey, where the monks are. You could see that about 5 miles away, but incredibly clearly. So I was getting this sense of where the river gets all its voices, because the river's always got something to say. In these 2 weeks, it's ever present wherever I am, in my house or just outside it. You can always hear the river. I can hear the river in my sleep. Kind of seeps into my dreams. I've been having very watery dreams, and I imagine that if we ever get some really heavy rainfall, I imagine that's going to be really loud at night, because it's a Dartmoor River that flows fast over granite. It's not like the kind of rivers I got to know when I was living in East Anglia, which were sleepy, silty rivers, sort of stoner rivers, really. They weren't in a rush to do anything. Whereas this one's always busy. It never stops. It never sits down and has a rest. I just cleared out my fire because it's a chilly night, and I want to make sure, because I'm recording this just outside my kitchen, and I'm going to be a bit cold, I think, by the time I'm done. So I want to make sure the fire's going. Also want to make sure it's going for my 19 and a half year old, very, very arthritic cat, Ralph, who has He's a very big fan of this fire. He sort of he kind of varies it. He goes to the fire when he wants some really big heat, and then if he just wants a slight change, he then comes back through the house to the Aga, where he has his own special giant floral cushion in front of the Aga, which I'm sure all cat owners with an Aga do this, don't they? Have a special giant floral cushion for their cat in front of the Aga. So I got that going for Ralph, cleared out the ashes from yesterday's fire, and I threw the ashes in the river, which seems a totally logical thing to do here. It's amazing when you watch the ashes go into the river, because you sort of, you know it's a totally ecologically fine thing to do, but you're still thinking, God, this is a lot of ashes to put into this river. Is it going to be okay with it? It's not a particularly big river. And then you watch the way they disperse, you watch the way the river just eats the ashes and they become nothing. The river just does not give a fuck about those ashes. It is totally, they mean nothing to it. What I think it does give a fuck about is plastic. It gives a fuck about nasty things like that go into rivers. Maybe not so much it, because I think generally people who walk on Dartmoor are quite good in that way, quite good at not leaving a lot of litter. It's not perfect in that sense, but I don't imagine this river, in the grand scheme of rivers, gets a lot of bad stuff thrown into it. But further down where it meets its mum, the River Dart, things get a bit different there, I think. So I'm listening to the river at the moment. I'm listening to all the voices. The voices of the dead, I think, are in there. All the many voices of the dead on the moor, all the many generations, farmers and tin miners and prisoners of war from the Napoleonic era. All those people who've lived on the moor, I think they're all in that river, their voices. It's a very watery landscape, Dartmoor. Gets a huge amount of rainfall. As I was walking up at the top of the valley yesterday, where there are just so many rivers, so many little streams. Lots of the footpaths up there, they kind of double as streams. It's a very gurgly sort of landscape. And I was up there wading through a lot of that, squelching through it in my new walking boots. They're good walking boots. They're actually it's the most expensive item of clothing I've ever bought, these walking boots. My heart was in my mouth a bit when I paid the bill, but I think they're a good idea, because particularly for winter walking on the moor, where you can end up losing half your leg in a peat bog temporarily. That can happen quite often. Happened to my mate Phoebe a few years ago when we were walking on the moor. Just like looked behind me and she just suddenly only had one leg. And then the two of us just kind of gave her left leg quite a hard pull, and it came out of the bog, and we continued walking her though with one of the legs of her jeans brown for the rest of the walk, which was interesting when we went into the pub afterwards, although they've seen that before at Dartmoor pubs. So the walking boots are good for that. But also I did another walk on Sunday where I did lots of stepping stones, and they were good for that as well. Every time I'm planning out a route for a walk on an OS map, if I see the phrase stepping stones, I'll generally expand the route to fit them in, and I managed to fit four in, four lots of them on this walk of various degrees of difficulty. There was the kind of basic degree, and then the sort of intermediary level, and then advanced, and then a sort of, oh holy fuck, how the hell am I going to do this level, which is beyond advanced. You'll see a photo of all four if you look at my Twitter or my Instagram, and one of them, this really, really advanced one, it wasn't that the river was particularly wide, not even that deep, but it was fast flowing, and the stones were totally submerged. So it was just a leap of faith, a quite literal leap of faith. And I was glad of these boots, but I was also glad that it was granite, because I have this trust in granite. Granite can be slippy, but it's not like, when I lived in the Peak District a couple of years ago, it was limestone, it was winter in the Peak District, the beast from the east, the coldest winter for something like 20 years. And I remember just slipping on limestone a lot, because limestone feels a lot of the time like there's this tablecloth constantly being pulled from under you, but granite's not like that. So I managed to get over the stepping stones and stay alive. And then I finished my walk in the dark. I'm not timing my walks particularly well at the moment. They all seem to be longer than I think they are. And I got in just before nightfall. And then I drove past Venford Reservoir on my way back home. And the darkness up there was quite frightening. There was no one else around at this time. And made me think of Conan Doyle just calling the more dreary, and sort of calling it a kind of, I think he might have called it something like a godforsaken sort of place. And I've never thought of it as dreary, because it excites me so much, but I looked at that scene and I got more of an idea of what he meant by dreary, a different kind of dreary. I mean, not the dreary of being dragged around IKEA on a Sunday, but the sort of dreary, a sort of scary dreary, in a way, that was up there. And it was a very deep darkness, and I would have been stuck in that if I'd timed my walk even more poorly. And so I was just down from that yesterday, walking with this walking diary that I recorded yesterday that I've decided not to put on my website. So I was doing that, and I was below this big ridge, and you've got this huge ridge behind you, and then you've got this stretch of really, really wild ground that goes up to Venford, and there's not much there. There's these sort of scary looking skeletal trees and the odd chunk of stone, but it's really just tussocks. And I was looking at this ridge and seeing this kind of thin winter sun behind it. It's barely a sun at all, even on a bright day. It's just not much sun at this time of year. And I struggle a bit with that. November and December, late November and December, they're my difficult times as someone who's not always great in winter. I'm a spring person, then a summer person, then an autumn person. Winter's my least favourite time. But walking helps. Even walking on a godforsaken dark moor, it helps. But I was looking back at this ridge and thinking, there's something frightening over there. Almost thinking like that's where it all stops. So how would I describe the look of this ridge behind me?